the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
What is all these people anyway?
Well, they guys, we just went live.
Kind of noisy.
You guys are going to have to go outside. We just went live on the air, and we'll talk to you after the show. Cliff, can you hear me over there on the other side of the table?
What's going on anyway?
Just a minute. Guys, look, you're going to have to go outside and you can watch through the window, but just you're going to have to go.
Security? Do we have security somewhere?
Oh, he's on break. Anyways, yeah. Now the people in town here are all excited because they heard that our little tiny pee in the bowl internet. That's PEA in the bowl. because I always refer to us as a bowl of peas, and you know, when you try to find your favorite pea, good luck. But anyways, we got notified. Keep it clean.
Oh no, isn't that the old kiddie story? Finding a pea in the mattress or having a pea in the mattress, you can feel it. Never mind.
I don't want to go there.
I remember one time with one of my kids when. Never mind.
We're already getting the strange looks in. Hey, look, yeah. I just cleaned that window yesterday. Will you guys quit putting nose against it?
I guess.
Anyways, what's going on? Good morning, folks. Welcome to Oregon Update. I'm Robin, and I'm back in the main studio here in Eugene, along with Cliff, who's right across the table from me.
Welcome.
And what's going on? Back off, you guys.
There is so many things going on. So many things going on, I tell you.
Well, anyways, the good news is I'm not going to mention the station, but our little tiny show got noticed.
Little tiny crap. We aren't little tiny.
Well, you know, we're not.
We're bigger than what they are. I mean, they've got an audience of three states. We've got an audience of 50 states and 197 countries.
That's true, and they never call.
That's true. Well,
All they have to do is pick up the phone and dial 646-721-9887. That's 646-721-9887. If you call right now, we'll also throw in an extra guest host.
So call right now and win big prize.
That's right. You get to talk to us.
But you only have 27 seconds to call.
That's right.
And then the prize goes down to just being on the air.
Anyway, speaking of, one of the major radio stations in San Francisco sent us an email and commented on the show, and so we're all stoked about it. And news got out, and of course, you know, we got people, media out front here that is wanting to talk to us about it, and because you know we are the local internet broadcast station in the Eugene area, and.
And unfortunately, not all these media are broadcast media and don't understand what mic on means.
That's right.
You work with broadcast media and you say mic on and everything gets quiet. But these people, it doesn't make any difference. They just yak on.
Yeah, hang on just a second. You guys better be contributing to that coffee out there. That's expensive.
It is nowadays. God, I can't believe the price of coffee. Whew, boy.
So anyways, enough with it. Stop it.
So anyway, how about that? You're back in town, and welcome home, and glad to have you back here. And last week we had kind of an interesting thing. We got started with the program, only to find out we weren't started with the program. We had to start over again and do things a little differently. But we'll get that part of it worked out too without any trouble. And it's just a matter of whenever you make major changes like that, you got to get used to things.
Right.
Takes a little while. I mean, you know, it's not something you get used to in 1 week. especially since, because we've done this for what, almost 2 years now, and never have changed anything. We've been, you know, in this, I don't want to call it a rut, because that's not what it was. It's just we're comfortable with what's going on, and then all of a sudden you make a major change and try to fix everything in one day. It doesn't always work.
Well, and we've been talking for years as well about doing remote broadcasts, and we've done the off-air experiments. But, just like with terrestrial live radio, this is live as well, and everything goes right until you hit the on-air button, and that's when everything goes wrong. But
ain't it the truth? Never fails. Everything is fine in rehearsals right up until when it's too late, and then it's too late, and then it's too late, or
but,
something.
But it needs a little bit more work on. But the fact is that we were, except for a major glitch, and that was an equipment malfunction on my end. The fact is that we did have a pretty good signal, and everything else seemed to work good. So that opens up a whole bunch of doors where we can take the KRBN motorhome out and mobile studio, and we can actually go to events and expand our little show. So we might come into a neighborhood near you, and don't send the cops after us. It's just us.
You never know. You never know. It's the limitations of what we can do are not even there. It's just unlimited, the kind of things. All we've got to do is figure out how to do it and when, and we'll work on it. But we're getting there.
Exactly. Speaking of getting there, again, like I said earlier on, you can give us a call at 646-721-9887. Today's kind of an open forum day. We don't really have a particular topic, but I'm sure we'll come up with something. Chat room is open. You can join us there. You can join us in our own little teeny chat room at krbnradio.com. And also, swing by krbnradio.com once in a while. And we're still it's still a work in progress. We're doing improvements. We do have we are on Twitter and Facebook. We've got conversations going on there. And, of course, you can catch podcasts of the shows here on the archives or on iTunes. All those links are on the Blog Talk Radio main page at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN.
I'm just bringing up our chat room there. Okay, there we are. Now we're on.
Now,
But the thing is, and like I said last week or the week before or whenever, I kept reiterating it, give us a call, 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887, because that's what I'd really like to do is talk to you in person, in live, real living color and all that sort of thing, because then we can really accomplish something, and that's what I really like to do. I like to cuss and discuss things with people, and the more people we have on the line, and please be prepared to cuss and discuss, because sometimes I don't always agree with somebody, and I don't mind telling you so. But I, on the same token, I'm quite happy to have you not agree with me and tell me so. I'd love it. I'd love it. Let's get in here and do something.
I disagree.
Well, you usually do, and I don't care. Really. Actually, you can't disagree. I mean, when I'm telling you the truth, you just can't disagree. That's just all there is to it. You got to go along with it, ready or not.
I disagree.
That's true. You do. So... but there's so many things happening in the world today that, you mentioned we don't have a specified subject to speak on. It doesn't make any difference. There's so many things going on that you could talk forever without having a subject.
Well, before we get into it, I want to throw out one quick thing while we're on the topic of phone calls.
Okay.
If you go to the blogtalkradio.com/KRBN website, you'll see on the right-hand side a comment section. And what I'd like people to do is that when you come visit us and listen to us on the archives, when you miss the the live broadcast, just send us a quick note. It can be anonymous or whatever. And let us know what time of the day and what day that you are listening to us. And that'll help us in this show or in future shows kind of get a better sense of our audience.
Yeah, that would be interesting to find out where people are listening and when they're listening, yeah.
Or just hi. We'll go for that, too.
What's that?
Or just say hi. I was here.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something about pie, and I'm ready.
Or you can send pie, too. Post office might object, you know, if you send it to P.O. Box. You know, I don't check the...
Well, I don't know about that, because I'm not sure if I'm ready to read it, to eat a pie as, that somebody has sent to us in snail mail, so to speak.
I don't know. Last time they sent us something, somebody else ate it.
Okay. Well, snail mail, just the idea, is means that we're getting a little late.
Well, snail and food.
I got to figure out how to... We got to figure out how to do this email thing where you can send physical things in email so that they get there instantly from anywhere.
Well, they're working on that. It's called the transporter.
Well, yeah, but Star Trek hasn't been willing to share that with us yet. They're kind of hogging that. So.
Well, Gene Roddenberry died and took his secrets with him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I'll go along with that.
But anyway, 646-721-9887 as we get down to business of getting to business.
You know, I think the big thing, this big thing about the internet is, it's getting splintered. I mean, we've got telephones that are now going online on the internet. We've got these tablet things that are now going online on the internet. We've got,
we're supposed to have an app so they can listen to us on the internet, on their cell phone.
I was just going to say, where are we are on the internet. I mean, you don't need an app.
Somebody else has an app so they can listen to their phone. Where's ours?
Oh, well, actually, we do have one somewhere. I don't know.
Frank, get that app going, will you?
But I was just noticing that Microsoft has a new tablet, Windows 8 tablet, and they're expecting to sort of dominate the iPad business, and I don't think that's going to happen. Microsoft is kind of an interesting company. They do a lot of things, and they do them fairly well, but the only thing that they really dominate is operating systems. So I don't think they dominate much of anything else. I think their business programs, they have a business suite that's pretty monstrous as far as downloads and purchasing is concerned.
If Microsoft can do one thing right, if I can ask them to do one thing right, and that would be, okay, just like with XP, all right, XP works. The biggest problem with it is that when you install and uninstall a program, it gets cluttered and it drags the system down to nothing. Even Vista has got that problem. I don't know if they solved that in Windows 7 or not, but, you know, basically, as soon as you get your computers out of the box, even the old 98, as soon as you got it out of the box, it was fast. But then after you use it, it slows down to almost nothing.
Well, see, there's something, I don't know what it is that Microsoft does, but they have something that it saves in your computer, and it just keeps filling up this computer and filling it up, and there's something in there that it saves. And in order to get it back up to speed, you've got to literally wipe out your C drive and start over again, because whatever that is that it saves. And I've worked in a couple of programs. In this particular case, they were radio station automation programs, where you literally had to reboot your computer at a certain time, because this whatever it is that it saves up in there gets to the point that it slows the computer down to actually stopping. And there's this one radio station automation program that I used that I had a very fast computer, but I still had to at least once a week had to reboot that computer. Now, in this particular case, it was no problem, because in the course of actually operating the radio station, we rebooted the computer every day, once a day. So it wasn't a problem. But interestingly enough, I've noticed that, and it's been my experience working in radio and with radio automation systems, that every automation system that is fail-safe and that works, I was going to say perfectly, but close to perfectly all the time, is a DOTS program that runs on Windows. And you, what you're looking at on the screen is a Windows program with all the information and all the controls and everything on it. But that Windows screen is running an actual DOS program, and the DOS program is the one that actually works.
Exactly. Well, it's not cluttered. I mean, they work so hard on the anti-copyright and everything. I mean, when you look at, well, first of all, the Windows Registry, which is the biggest mess of the whole thing. It used to be when you installed a program, it just installed the program. That was it. Now they go into the registry. They go into several other areas. The installer installs DAT files and bin files. And when you're on the Internet, there's another, I can't remember what the name of the file is, but one of the IT guys told me this, that like your history file, there's another file that accumulates that keeps track of where you've been. It's just like, just scrap it all and start over, get back to the basics, and everything will work just right.
They save all this stuff, and I don't, you know, nobody says much of anything about Microsoft stealing things from you or invading your privacy, but they do. Now, whether they ever use it for anything or why, I don't know, but they do go on and attack, but that's not right. They connect to your computer every so often, every time you do an update or anything like that. So I'm sure they're harvesting all kinds of information from every computer that's out there, because I know that their system is storing information somewhere.
Well, especially when you look at the new trend called the cloud. I mean, two points I want to make. One, if you look at your, because I get mine set up, my computer's set up that if there's any Internet conversation, you know, the little icon down there lets me know, and they're constantly chatting with the Internet, and my security system also tells me every time a program wants to reach out and touch somebody. But it's interesting how many programs actually want to do that, including some of the stuff that if you're not aware of looking for, like your remote access, and if you have your guest authorization open, anybody can get in there. But there's so many, like speaking of the cloud, for example, the cloud, being an old programmer type person, we used to have a system called a dumb network, a dumb computer system. And basically what that was is it was a mainframe computer or main computer with dumb terminals connected to it. The terminals couldn't do anything unless it did it through the main computer. Well, the cloud is no different, except computers are now more, instead of being dumb terminals, are now more smart terminals, which is basically what everybody's computer is when you refer to the cloud. But in short, what happens is that, I'll give you like what Trend Micro wants to do. They want everybody to go to Titanium, which is the cloud. And what that does is, the theory is on the surface is that everything that happens goes through their goes to their network servers first, and then it's cleaned up and sent to you. That's all good and well, except now you're relying on a third party for all your stuff to go through, and if they're bogged down, you're going to get bogged down. Everywhere you go on the Internet is going to go through their system.
And there's nothing you can do about that now. I mean, every virus checker out there is now using the cloud. And I understand why. They want to be able to look at that website or whatever it is you're going to. They want to be able to look at it, find out if there's a virus on it, and then pass on to you whether there is or isn't. And then you can decide whether to literally go onto that website or not. And that's all well and good, and it's a very fine thing, except that, boy, you now definitely have to upgrade your computers, because this slows everything down to an extreme. Because I have a laptop computer that's a fairly old computer, and I really like it because it is old and simple. But now, by putting a new virus checker on there, that radically slows things down. Now, I also, the computer that I'm talking to you on right now is a fairly new computer and a dual processor and all that sort of thing, so it's quite fast. But unless you have something like that, this whole business of going through the cloud and doing all of this is actually slowing things down radically. So some people who haven't upgraded their stuff right away or recently, it does make a huge difference.
Well, and also things get installed and running in background that unless you go in and check your task manager very often, it sneaks in there and you don't know. And sometimes it can just slow things down to a crawl.
Oh, yeah. this is getting a little more technical than I think most people want to hear, but that's true. You need to check that task manager because, you know, if you've got more than 35, 40 different things running at a time, it's going to really slow you down. And it doesn't take very long to get 60, 70, 80 things going at a time, and that really slows your computer down. Of course, see, nowadays, again, what's happening is this is a whole new industry because now everybody sends you this information about this program that will come in and clean up your computer. So they have these new programs that you can, you, of course, have to buy them and you have to pay for them monthly or whatever. And they go in and check your computer and check all this stuff for you and fix it and clean it up and do that, all this stuff. And some of them can speed your computer up quite a ways depending on how far you've gone without doing anything to it. So.
Well, yeah, and some of those, most of them are legit, but all they're doing basically is they're doing what Microsoft should have done in the beginning. They're cleaning up that registry, getting rid of old links that don't work anymore, and that's half the stuff that makes the computer really, really bogged down is that these things are old and they don't work, and the computer still has to deal with it.
Yeah. And, of course, there's an awful lot of it has to do with people who don't really wish to become so involved in their computer or so knowledgeable about their computer to do things like that. They just want the thing to sit there and work. So that's why it's really great to be able to download a program, and that program can pop up all this stuff and tell you what's wrong here and there and everywhere. And then by paying $60, you can have it all taken care of and fixed and working again. So at least, you know, I think the problem is Microsoft's getting a little wary. If they decided to put a program in that would do all this for you, they'd probably get in trouble for stealing it from somewhere or something. So, I see it both ways.
Well, and that's, in a way, I guess, kind of why, hello, I'm a Mac.
No. That's not right. I know Mac, and I've worked with Mac, and I've contacted people who do work with Macs, and it's not better. Sorry.
Yeah, but what Macintosh has been selling, and I guess some of the new Macs are actually like this, is that you take it out of the box, you turn on the power, and it's ready to go. You don't have all these advertisements. The thing just works. And I know people that have Macs, and they love them, and so I don't know. I mean, there's so many.
I had heard this over and over and over again, and I worked in a business that we did publishing and computer graphics and things like that. And I had to go to this place downtown. This is in Seattle in this particular case, and I was right above. There's a company that takes your You build a book. You're making a book. Well, most people don't have huge printers and these, you know, $100,000 printers to be able to print this out and to convert it into actual printing material. And so you take it to a halfway house, so to speak. And these guys, they get information from thousands and thousands of businesses, and every business uses a different computer, so they've got to have all the different computers. So this place that I went into has rooms. They had about 50 PCs and about 50 Macintoshes and 25 or 30 Sun computers. I mean, they had any possible computer system that you ever possibly want, and they had people in there using them with each of these computer systems. And I went in there and saw all this, and I talked to them, and I asked about what's the best computer on the market, and they were very candid about it. They're all the same. They all have the same problems. They all have the same trouble, and they all have good parts and bad parts. And even Sun and some of the more expensive, I mean, Sun computers are sort of, what I want to say, they're specialized. They don't do a lot of stuff that the normal household computer does, but they also cost like 10 times as much money. But they still have some of the basic problems that all the computers have, and so none of them are that much better than the others. And I specifically wanted to know about the Macintosh as opposed to PC, the old thing that everybody says, and it's really not that good. You have a problem with them both, and they both have the same problems, by the way.
and you're listening to Tech Talk on KRBN Radio.
Really? Yeah, we probably should stop this because we're probably losing people everywhere we turn around. 646-721-9887. Tell us something we want to talk about. Give us a subject or ask us a question or inform us of something that we didn't know before or something that we did know before and maybe disagree with you. 646-721-9887.
Or if you're shy, join us in the chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN or KRBNradio.com, which does not require a Blog Talk Radio membership, which is free.
Right.
In the old days.
Hello.
What was that? You're doing commercials, huh?
I wasn't me. I think it was me.
Oh, it was you.
I wonder if that... wait a minute. All right. Hey, Sam, I told you to keep the door locked. Keep those guys out there in the waiting room, would you? God. And get some more coffee.
You know, it's interesting. I have you ever played around much with any of these tablet computers and iPads or whatever you want to call them at this particular point?
I've drooled over one, yeah.
Well, I've just wondered. I haven't actually been where I can use one, but mostly because, at least at the beginning, they didn't have much of anything that I wanted. They talk about being able to read things on the computer, read books or read newspapers and things like that. And that's all well and good, except that I've been doing that for years already. And I've used a regular laptop computer. I've got one with a 10-inch screen, and I've had it for, well, I've got two or three of them. But anyway, the point is I've read things on the computer for years. And it's a great idea because I've had problems with my eyes for about 5 years now. And the idea being with a computer, you can make the printing bigger. So no matter what's wrong with your eyes, you can probably read something. I suppose if your eyes are really, really bad, it could take a while.
Well, the computer can read to you.
Well, I've thought about that a lot. And I did have set it up a couple of times and was not real excited about it. You know, it does read it, but it's a little monotone-ish for me if I'm reading a newspaper article or something like that. But if I'm reading a book, my inner voice is a lot more animated than...
Your inner voice?
Yeah. Don't you have a sort of inner voice when you're reading a book?
I thought we weren't going to talk about your inner voice.
I got an exciting inner voice, let me tell you. But anyway, I'm not going to get too carried away with that at all. But anyway, I was looking at this iPad idea and this thing. I'm hoping that because now they've got them to go online and they're getting them more and more advanced and everything as we go along. But you know, the whole thing is it's going to end up. You're going to. They had, what do they call them? Their laptops, but. They had laptops with a screen that flipped around and you could flip it over.
Oh yeah.
And whatever those were, we're going to end up with more of those because that's
the old days of computing.
Oh, I know. That was me.
That was you.
That was me. What?
Step away from the keyboard.
Yeah. No. One of the things that I get upset about what this is an article on here. And when you're reading along, it has different words that have underlines under them. And if you put your – there we go. We'll do it again.
In the old days.
Anyway, you put your cursor over that word with a line under it, and it brings up something else. But it doesn't wait for you to – and you know, you don't have to click on anything or anything. It just automatically does it, and it upsets me horribly.
I got this thing flashing on my computer. I think it wants to talk to you. Or something.
It's talking to me very quietly.
Robin's computer and I take offense about what you think about me.
Okay. Very interesting. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to the iPad because they're smaller. But it's not something new. I mean, it's something that's been around technically for a long time.
Well, it's just like the smartphones, for example, which is kind of like being small computers. I had one for a whole week. I kind of liked it, but it didn't cover the range. didn't work very good as a phone, but...
Well, the problem with a smartphone is you're looking at like a 5-inch picture at the most. I mean, it's usually 3-inch. I mean, that's awfully small. That's just way too... They've had televisions, 3-inch televisions, for forever, and nobody ever bought them. I mean, a few people did here and there, but they've had those since the 90s, and people just didn't buy them. It's too small. I'm not even excited about 7-inch, but 10-inch, a 10-inch screen you can pretty much see. But anything smaller than that, I'm not ready for that. And you just, you know, that's not something you can put in your pocket. I'm sorry. Just isn't.
So I'm going to get into politics a little bit. Got some things going. One thing I was just kind of noticing as I'm perusing through the news items today is all the acronyms that the government's coming up with for all the little programs, like in immigration, for example, you got the DREAM Act. I forget exactly what it stands for, but another senator has started. Let's see, this is U.S. Representative Frank Guanta, G-U-I-N-T-A, and he's introducing what's called the HALT Act, H-A-L-T. Which is Hinder the Administration's Legalization Temptation Act. Not that I want to get into the immigration thing, but I'm just thinking that how many hours are they sitting around saying, okay, we need to come up with a really good acronym for what we want to do and find the name that goes along with it.
You know, and they do that too, by the way. They do sit around for hours trying to come up with an acronym that actually means something and that says something so it's easy to remember.
Exactly. So we need to come up and send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com. We need to come up with an acronym for replacing Obama.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, and I'm going to get real.
I'm sure they already got him, but, you know, a little
technical here. We don't need to come up with an acronym. Let's just replace him. So we need to literally start talking about who we're going to vote for and start paying attention, because we've had two debates with the Republican candidates so far already. And Rick Perry has, I think, pretty much shown himself to be an idiot. He's the front runner at the moment, or was anyway. I don't know what's happened after this last debate, which was what, day before yesterday or something like that. I have so far missed him. I set myself up and tell myself I want to be in place to watch these things, and then somewhere along the line I'm not. I find myself somewhere else and get very upset because I didn't pay attention and watch. Now, this last one, I've had laser surgery on my eyes, and after you have laser surgery on your eye, you don't accomplish much trying to watch anything.
No kidding. It
doesn't work real well. You got a couple of days for things to kind of get back to any kind of a semblance of normal. And I had laser surgery on my eye on Friday. So, but now I've had it on both eyes now. And so now I get to wait 6 weeks for it to get back to somewhat normal.
Why don't you give them just a real short background on why you're getting your eyes zapped?
Oh, I've had, years ago, like 3 years ago, I started noticing that I had a real problem with cataracts. And, I don't know if I remember. It's been 2.5 years ago that I had cataract surgery and had my eyes replaced. I had new lenses put in. And right after that, my eyesight was spectacular, just absolutely fantastic. I was just absolutely excited and thrilled at the whole idea. Unfortunately, it only lasted about 3 months, and then it all went to hell. And I got macular degeneration and had these big black blobs in front of everything, and I couldn't see anything. I could see around the blobs, but it's hard to look around the blobs because if you move your eye, then the blob goes with it. But anyway, so I had the problem with macular degeneration. And mind you, all of this, we caught it very early in this particular case. But I've been getting eye surgery. I've had about 8 surgeries, which turns out to be 16 because it's one on each eye is separate in the last couple of years, all culminating in this last month with laser surgery. Before that, it was not laser. It was needle surgery, shall we call it. But basically, it has made a huge difference. I can actually see. I don't have the black blobs in the middle anymore. And the doctor that I work with, Dr. Karth, he's fantastic. He's really great, and he does a good job. It's a long time it's taking to get anything done, but with my glasses, I can basically sit here now and read things on the computer. And I haven't even increased the size of the print. I'm reading regular size print on the computer. Of course, I do have a nice big 19-inch screen to read it on, but so that helps.
Well, and it's amazing what they can do, because if it wasn't for that, you're basically going blind.
Oh, I was blind. I'm still legally blind, but I was basically blind. Yeah, I couldn't see anything at all. It was just basically gone. So yes, it is absolutely amazing, and I'm just so grateful to have it being done, and I'm really, really happy about it, because that's one thing I would really miss is being able to see what I'm doing, because I've worked on computers for years, playing around with the computers, and you pretty much have to see what you're doing to work with computers. Although I know a couple of people that are blind that are absolutely, absolutely amazing people, just amazing people.
Well, I think at the last place you worked, he was totally blind, wasn't he?
Yeah, the one kid there is blind, and he's still working at the radio station, and he's doing amazing things. But he's really young. He's only just out of high school. The person that I'm thinking of is a guy named Cole Malcolm, and he owns a couple of radio stations, and he's a broadcast engineer. Now, mind you, he's always been blind. Not that he's just gotten blind or became a broadcast engineer and then got blind, but he's always been blind. But he wanted to be a broadcast engineer, and so he learned broadcast engineering. And so he is indeed a broadcast engineer, and a very good one at that. But he is totally blind, and it just blows me away. I mean, I can't tell you, because I know this fellow fairly well. I haven't seen him for a while, a few years. But I can remember times when we were working together, and he was at a station that I was running and working on something. And I can remember one time in particular that he said something about, well, let's do this and this and this, and then we'll go out to the tower and check it out and see what happened. So we did this and this and this, and I walked out the door to go to the tower, and he says, you know, he calls from back behind me quite a ways, and he says, hey, hold on. You know, if you'll help me, we'll get out there a lot faster. Because he couldn't see where he was going, and I just walked off and left the poor guy there. I forgot he was blind. I mean, you really do forget that he's blind. He's so good at things. And so I went back and got him. But there's been several times that I just walked off and left the – and then another time he was working underneath the desk on some wiring, and I walked into the room, and he says, come here. And I walked over there, and he says, could you tell me if this is red or green wire? Well, the problem was – the lights weren't on. So I said, no, I can't tell you if it's a red or a green wire. You don't have the lights on. I can't see it. And so I had to go turn the lights on and then come back and tell him. But, you know, we each forget. He forgot about the lights, and I forget about him. So
yeah, lights are probably not something that's important to him.
Well, yeah, it's not at all. He doesn't know if it's lights are on or off. He doesn't care. But I can't help him if I can't see it any more than he can, so.
Speaking of lights, I want to throw out, and this kind of goes along with politics too, the 2012 light bulb ban. Although it was tried to overturn it, the courts are upholding it. So in 2012, incandescent light bulbs over, I think it's 50 watts or something, will be banned. You won't be able to buy them.
So. Now, see, this is why we need to consider working real hard on replacing President Obama, because as long as we have the Democrats in place in the White House and wherever they're going to be in charge, let's put it that way, we're going to have more and more things being taken over in our life. We should not have to be told to change light bulbs or to stop doing things. And it is so ridiculous. If I want to, you know, you can if you let the economy do it. The simple fact of the matter is, the people manufacturing light bulbs will at some point in time start realizing that the light bulbs that are better for the environment, environmentally safe.
Right, which the fluorescents are not, because the mercury and the
that too, yeah. Actually, the most practical light bulb at this particular point, not counting cost, is the LED.
Exactly.
LED light bulbs, they don't have any basic problems. They're very expensive, but they also, if you get right down to it, if you technically look at it, you'll find that they're actually less expensive than incandescent light bulbs, but the initial cost of the light bulb is significantly more. And I went to the fluorescent bulbs and ultimately the LED bulbs myself, because I'm one of these people who like leaves my porch lights and my garage light on all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was constantly replacing those light bulbs. And it's a real pain, because in the garage I have to have a ladder and climb up there and fall off of it and all this kind of junk. But and with incandescent bulbs, I'm changing it like every 4 or 5 months. But with a fluorescent bulb, I can leave it in there for as much as a couple of years. If you leave it on all the time, they don't last 5 years, by the way. They only last a year and a half, 2 years. But with LEDs, they will last as much as 5 years without having to replace them. So that was my big thing. I got tired of replacing light bulbs all the time. I went to the more expensive but the longer-lasting bulbs, because I don't want to keep replacing light bulbs. I get tired of screwing in light bulbs all the time and having to replace them. They're cheaper, yes. But, boy, when it gets right down to it, they're not. And when you actually literally get down to even the LED bulbs, the amount of time that they last, coupled with the unbelievably less electricity that they use, because to get an LED light bulb that's equivalent of a 60-watt light bulb, it only uses about a watt. I mean, they're just unbelievably frugal in how much they produce. So between the two, how long they last and how much electricity they use, in 5 years you will have paid for that light bulb, and anything over 5 years, you're gaining. You're actually getting it for free.
Well,
so,
speaking of, and like I was talking about acronyms and stuff, do you know what the acronym they gave the Light Bulb Ban Act is?
Mm-mm.
Bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Better Use of Light Bulbs Act is what they call it. So it's the Bulb Act.
I see. Okay.
But LEDs in general, because LEDs are all over the place. They've been around for a long, long time. Probably everything that you own has an LED in it. The city of Eugene here, on their traffic lights, replaced a lot of the bulbs with LEDs. And the one thing they're finding out is that circuit boards a lot of times are not weathering the weather very well.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm seeing with a lot of these stoplights now is that you might have one or two strips out of the display bulb that are gone, and that's because solder can be, especially if it's a cheap solder, like they usually use solder dipping, any type of impurities in there, and it starts to, not erode, but it kind of electrolysis type thing where it desolders itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's a new system, and it's a new idea, and we've got to get used to it. We've got to get educated, and the only way we can educate ourselves is by doing it and having it fail and figuring out how to do it better. And a lot of these things, because, you know, one of the things, just a little thing, but kind of a major eye-opener, I guess, to me. I work with audio a lot, with loudspeakers and building audio systems and things like that, and I built speakers for years and years and years. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but when you start getting older, you start realizing things don't last forever.
What?
The foam rubber surround around the outside of your loudspeaker, those don't last very long at all. I worked at a radio station. We took some speakers out of a radio station, and I took them home. And actually, I bought them really cheap, because the radio station went out of business. Let me just say that. And these were Altec or James B. Lansing speakers, JBLs, which are some of the most expensive speakers made, and are very, very good speakers. And these speakers had been up in the studio at this radio station for like 20 years, something like that. And we took these speakers home, and in our living room, we're sitting there, we're listening to them. They sounded great, you know, there was nothing wrong with them. And 20 years is not too long to expect a speaker system to last. But we were sitting there, and we decided to see how they would sound at louder volumes at one point. Now, we were sitting here watching these speakers, looking at the speakers with the grill cloths off the front of them, so we're looking at the bare speakers. So we cranked it up with the sound and watched the foam rubber just disintegrate around the sides of the speakers, around the cone. And it just literally crumbled and fell out on the floor, just all of it. I mean, and the speakers, of course, stopped working because they had nothing to hold them in place, and they just stopped working. And I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. These are $600 a piece that these speakers originally cost, and they just disintegrated in front of my eyes for no reason at all other than the fact that the rubber was old.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you can go down and buy the cheap stuff made in China, and it'll last forever.
Well, I own a very, very, very nice pair of speakers here at home. And the difference is that they have the paper part of it goes all the way out to the edge, and then it's glued down to the frame. And then it's got and I don't know what they've used to do this, because I've had these speakers since 1969, and they have this sort of a sticky stuff around the outside, and they still work perfectly, and you can run them as loud as you want, and they don't disintegrate, and they're still in immaculate condition after all that time. So speakers can be made properly, but it's a little more expensive, I guess, to do that. But I had never heard of the speakers. I know now that the foam rubber around speakers, that's a standard thing, because they actually make kits to fix it with. But I didn't know that at the time. I just threw them away, which was very upsetting because I'm cheap. And to throw away a pair of $600 speakers just was not part of my vocabulary at that time.
Speaking of cheap, by the way, that major radio station that noticed us, we're for hire.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Good idea.
I got another acronym for you.
Yeah.
And this one I kind of made up, but FAIL, F-A-I-L. Failed attempt in leadership.
I'm not going to get into that because I know of a couple of people that have done that.
Well, I got one that, of course, we are rated mature. I'll go ahead and say it. What the heck. You can send your letters to talk@krbnradio.com if you get offended by this one. But it's only offensive if you take it as. And that one is the positive opinion on people. And the acronym for that is POOP.
I love it.
Opinion on people.
Hey, you got me on that one. Oh, boy. That's great. That's absolutely great. You can't take that wrong. That's funny. Really. So,
anyways, taking that 646-721-9887. We're just kind of, it's an open forum today. You can come and open our forum. No, but join at 646-721-98. We can't be serious.
My God, do you see what time it is?
We have 40 minutes left in the program.
And we've said virtually nothing for almost an hour.
Right.
We've said nothing. Well, it's just the only thing is, you know, let's get into this business again. We started to get into it a little bit, but the thing we've got to do, and I believe that it's going to be our mission in life, yours and mine and KRBN Radio. Our mission in life is to get prepared to replace the president. We've got to get this guy out of the office. He's, you know.
And if you're like me today, I promise to do absolutely nothing. And since everybody that gets elected doesn't do what they promise, there you go. That's my campaign.
Okay, you confused me with that one.
Okay. How many people that are running for office, they promise this, that, and the other thing, we vote them in, and they don't do what they promised? probably most of them, I would guess, but a lot of them. Okay, so I'm running on the platform that I'm not going to do anything. So if you elect me and I don't do what I promised in my campaign speeches, then you're not disappointed.
Well, actually, that's wrong, because you promised to do nothing. So the only way the only way you can not keep your promise is by doing something.
That's my point.
And if you did something, you could possibly screw up everything. So.
Or I could keep my campaign promises and I could go on vacation every other week. Wait, that's already happening. And the majority of the people in the news media, including here at KRBN, are going, we like it when he goes on vacation. He can't do anything. Well, he can, but...
Unfortunately, he does.
He does, yeah. He's like...
The point is, we've given the man 2.5 years, or almost 3, to learn the job, and he hasn't. I mean, he's not capable of doing the job, is what he's proven to me over this period of time. So we've got to figure out a way to get him out of there. We don't dare let him start a second term, because he can indeed screw things up and has. What upsets me more than anything is people get in these positions of senator or representative or president, and they think they're better than we are, the average Joe Blow citizen. And that is not the case, in my opinion. It's just not. They can be just as good as I am, and some of them can be smarter than I am. That's not that difficult to do. But the point is, they're still just people, but not in their opinion. They get in there, and they really think they're so much better than everybody else. They start figuring out ways to pass bills to allow them to do things that we can't do, or to put taxes on us that they don't have to bother with, and especially to make twice as much money. Government employees, on the average, it is shown now that they're making approximately twice as much as civilian employees doing the same job. Well, that's got to come to a screeching halt. One of the things that's happening, because our economy is falling flat on its face, the amount of money that you're making is changing. But government jobs are not. Government jobs are not being affected by that. Civilian jobs are. People who had a job 5 years ago are still and are still working are finding out that they're making significantly less than they were. They haven't gotten raises if they're in the same position, or if they've had to change jobs, the job is paying less. The average paycheck is significantly, like 30%, smaller than it was a few years ago.
Right. And most people, they have to work in a job for so long before they're eligible for a mere 1 week of time off. And how many vacations has this guy taken so far, not to mention how much...
Keep pushing these vacations. I don't think he's taken that many extra vacations. I really don't think.
What about his wife and all of them?
But we didn't elect his wife. His wife can go anywhere she wants to. She can do anything she wants to. She doesn't have to work.
As long as we're not paying for her trip.
Well, you know, there's no way we can get around that. You know, that's not, and I'm ready or not, that's not her fault. It's our fault, because human beings are so stupid that they wouldn't let her do something without causing her harm or great discomfort. We have to protect her, and so consequently we can't let her fly a regular airplane or drive someplace on her own. You can't do that, because she wouldn't be safe, and consequently we have to protect her. And it's not her fault that she's in that position, so we must protect her. So that's it. I consider that.
I've got no problem with, sending Secret Service or whatever, but and I'm trying to find it real quick. But, you know, her going on vacations, taking all of her friends along with her, living in the life of luxury over there. And how many times she's done this, I don't know, I'm looking it up now, but it's been quite a few times. And the taxpayers are paying for that. Or when the two of them go to the same place on separate planes. I mean, that's doubling the effort. Just like recently, you know, right after
it's doubling the effort to take separate planes. Do you know how many planes we take everywhere?
Okay, how many planes do we take everywhere?
Just Air Force One. We take Air Force One, and then we take two more planes to take the reporters and everything else. We're taking three airplanes every time we go anywhere. It's not just one. So because we can't get all the people on one, plus the fact they don't want to have to all on one plane. They don't want to have that many people on Air Force One that they have to watch and be careful and pay attention to. So, you know, all of this stuff, we don't realize how much money we're spending. And I agree that, I don't think it's that's not a concern. It is and it isn't. It's not a big expense. I mean, right now I get upset that he's going all over the country on a campaigning tour, and we're not paying for, or we're ending up paying for that. Why are we paying for his and not paying for the Republican candidates or Democratic candidates that want to run for the office? We should be paying for all of them.
I agree. If any other candidate took, was it the Campaign Reform Act or whatever, where they have to account for all the money that that comes in was spent?
Okay, what about it?
Well, in other words, if any other candidate got a free ride, the commission would be all over them for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I, to a certain extent, again, I understand. But I that's why I think that the presidential office, we've just simply got to get him out of there. We've got to make it a one-term position, not a multi-term position. Because in his position, we pretty much have to guarantee his transportation. So if we make it a one-term position, he doesn't need to campaign for anything. Now, we could make it a 6 years instead of four if you want to. I don't care. But whatever it is, we need to make it one term so he doesn't have to campaign. And that way, it can limit some of our expenses on that. But the thing is, he's going to be all over the country anyway, and there is a particular point where I personally believe we need to start cutting down a little bit on some of these things because we do get a little bit carried away.
Well, here's an article, for example. This one is from CBS News, dated August 19th, 2010. So that was a little bit ago. But back then, they counted 9 vacations, 38 days on vacations for President Obama.
So 38 days.
38 well, days, and that was in that was in August of 2010.
Okay, but for the year it was 38 vacation days.
Right.
Well, see, there's an awful lot of people in high position that get a 4-week vacation. That's not particularly out of the realm of anything. I mean, it's a little unusual because some of our presidents don't take vacations. And we let that happen, and we don't mention anything about it. But I don't find that that's exceedingly out of the question for 4 weeks of vacation time. The man is – I mean, it's a pretty stressful job, whether you like it or not, and whether you're ready to admit it or not. It is a pretty stressful job. Oh, goodness, I haven't been paying attention to the chat room. Looks like. Oh.
Well, anyways, while you're reading that.
it's just weird. It's the same thing over and over again, and it's all just me signing in for whatever reason. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, the point is that that's such a small amount of money. What we need to worry about is how much money we're giving away to other countries. Because even in the overall scheme of things and how much money we actually spend and how much money we take in. Because we're looking at a budget now of what, $4.5 trillion annually, something like that. And so even if you're looking at, because in my opinion, how much money we give away to Iran or to Iraq or to Egypt or to Syria or whomever, we're looking at $60 billion. Now, $60 billion sounds like a lot of money if you're just talking about $60 billion. If you're talking about that in comparison to the overall budget of $4.5 trillion, it's still minuscule. But we could take that $60 billion that we're giving away right now, literally giving away, and we don't even know where it's going, and it's not making friends for us, by the way. Most of the countries that we're giving that money to are not our friends. They're not happy with us. They're very unhappy with us and consider us enemies. So why are we giving them that money? But we are. If we took that money and spent it right here in the United States, either by bringing down our debt limit or by paying bills or perhaps strengthening the border. Or there's so many different ways that $60 billion could be spent and do so much better than it's being done right now. Plus, the thing that upsets me more than anything, that I get really, really irate about and really sad about at the same time, is that we're spending that $60 billion to kill young men and women. Because that's what we're doing. We're sending them overseas, and we're killing them. That's what we're doing. And I don't care who you are, president or otherwise, that's not what we should be doing.
And for what?
For nothing.
Right.
For absolutely nothing. Like you say, we're not even making friends in these other countries. It's not happening. So we need to stop doing this. Now, I will have to give President Obama credit, I think, and I don't think that he did this on purpose, but he didn't put troops on the ground in Libya. We did spend a huge amount of money doing other things, but we didn't put troops on the ground, and I don't think anybody got killed in the thing that's going on in Libya, at least not any American. And, you know, I do care about other people than just Americans, but more about Americans than anybody else. But we didn't harm anybody in that particular skirmish. So consequently, that was in a way good, but we shouldn't have gotten into it at all. We shouldn't be taking sides in this particular instance at all. So we need to stop spending that money. That $60 billion could be brought back to the United States and used. You connect that, or combine that, if you wish, with the fact that our military budget, just the actual what's outlined and called, defined as military budget by our budget, we could take another $30 billion off of that, by the way, because that was the $30 billion that we gave them that they didn't even ask for. So we could take that $30 billion. All of a sudden, now we've got $90 billion. Now we're getting to some real money. And there's other places that we could trim things, because there's a lot of the military budget that isn't called military budget, but it really is, that we could also trim. And we're not talking about cutting it back. I'm talking about not making it bigger, because every year, the military budget, we give them more money than they ask for.
And speaking of budgets here.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him, because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And you can also go to krbnradio.com for a link to that website. Check them out. They're really kind of cool. Yeah, sorry to kind of jump in there, but, you know, speaking of budget, we have...
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was looking at that and thinking about that as I was talking and going to bring it up myself, because we hadn't talked about the dog cookies there. You know, another thing that I want to just sneak in here is because there's another website. We have it on our webpage on krbn.com. It's netgiftcenter.com, and if you go there, they're selling wind chimes. Are you into wind chimes at all?
Yeah, I like to put them at neighbors' houses where it just annoys the heck out of them.
Well, you know, it's some wind chimes, there's some big differences in wind chimes. And these particular wind chimes that I'm talking about, I want to let you hear one of these. These are JW Standard wind chimes. Each one of these are hand tuned, and they're tuned for a particular actual I don't want to call it a melody, because it really isn't a melody, but it is a sound. And these are really mellow, really nice sounding wind chimes. And I want to bring this up and see if this works, if you can hear this. Maybe. I thought it was. Okay, where did it go? Could have sworn it was going to be there. But anyway, these things are, each one is hand-tuned, and these are really, really nice-sounding wind chimes. They really have a gorgeous sound to them, and I'm really impressed with them. They're not the world's cheapest wind chimes, but they're not that expensive either for $69 for a set of wind chimes, and they're tuned. These particular ones sound like ancient temple bells. And then they've got another one on there. What's it say they are? It doesn't. It just says they're nice sounding. But the larger one for $69, they really have a gorgeous sound to them that I really am impressed with. And you might want to take a... And if you go to the website, which is netgiftcenter.com, all one word, netgiftcenter, all one word, .com, and click on it, you can hear the sound of them. And it's just absolutely, I don't want to say spectacular because that's kind of getting a little carried away, but they're really
impressed, and so should you be. Check them out.
Yeah, they really are nice. I have listened to those, and I was just really impressed with how nice they sound. It's just absolutely amazing. Really,
it's interesting that considering that the where wind chimes originated from, or why they originated, was to ward off evil omen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what they were? How interesting.
That and to annoy your neighbors.
Yeah. Well, you know, they don't have to annoy your neighbor. There they are. Anyway, that gives you an idea.
I feel so serene now.
Yeah. They really just, I mean, I just,
and what was that website again, Cliff?
NetGiftCenter.com. NetGiftCenter, all one word, .com. NetGiftCenter.com. Pretty easy to find. And
NetGiftCenter.com. Anyways, we got 22 minutes remaining in the program. It's kind of a lackadaisy day today. 646-721-9887. We can't be all serious and all newsworthy every time, but although we try to be, but we can have fun once in a while, and I think that the crowd out there is kind of dispersing a little bit, and I think they're waiting for the cookies. Did you order cookies?
No, I didn't, but I mean, I'm almost ready to. I'm going to have to order one of those cookies or a couple of those cookies just to see what they're like. I've never seen one or tasted one, but I'd be interested in tasting.
Well, hey, maybe we should. No, I don't want to give it to the crowd out there. They'll write up some really nasty stuff to it. You better leave me some cookies out there. I think we're out of coffee. But
that.
You know, yeah. Studio isn't, it's not a huge studio, folks, but so it gets a little crowded when you got a bunch of people out here. But it's,
matter of fact.
So it's kind of, our heads are swollen today because of, you know, getting noticed by a major radio station. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why we're just having a little bit of fun today. And
yeah, it's been interesting because there's so much going on in the news and so much taking place in the news, and right now this big budget thing of Mr. Obama's, President Obama's, I suppose I should at least give him that kind of respect, but President Obama's budget thing, he's done it again. He's absolutely done it again. He keeps coming up with these things, but he doesn't actually have a bill that he doesn't put in. He doesn't actually put anything in writing. What he's done this time is he's gone in there and dumped this off on everybody, and this, what is it? It's.
I think I figured it out. It just now dawned on me. I think I figured it out. Because the jobs bill now, you know, in the news is already saying that he's traveling the country to promote. I think it's just another excuse to get out of the White House.
Well, it's a campaign tour. That's what it is.
It's definitely an excuse to get away from his wife, who keeps wanting to eat healthy, because every time he goes out on these little trips, he goes to McDonald's.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, the thing is, he's skinny. He can get away with that. I can't. So I can't say too much about that as far as that part's concerned. But I do. I really am upset because he is spending a huge amount of time away. And who's running the house? Who's running the business? Who's taking care of our country? It's obviously not him. He's out trying to beg for money and so that he can run again. And that's part of what I'm getting really upset about is our elected officials, our elected servants, are not serving at all. They're all spending their time trying to make money and by trying to beg for money from everybody they can find. And that's what we've got to change about our government, is this consistent search for more and more money. I mean, these things get more and more expensive. So there's two or three things that we've got to do that have got to take place before anything else takes place. Before we worry about where our money is being spent, we've got to worry about who's spending it and how much of it they're spending. So we need to, you know, I've been thinking for a long time, not just recently, about how to reform our campaigning and our campaign financing. And I think the big thing is to limit how much money people can spend on financing. But we've got to change how things are run, because the world is changing. Everything is, our communication system is changing. We're doing things all on the internet, and we're doing things nationwide. And we've got to eliminate all this running around to every different state and spending huge amounts of dollars on advertising in each individual state and all this kind of stuff. We've got to turn this into a national type of thing and limit how much money you can ask for and how much money you can spend and where you can spend it. That's what we've got to do, because we're just spending too much of our time worrying about campaigning. And so we've got to change how that's done so that we have a little time left over somewhere in each day to actually run the country. Because our country, you want to know why we're in so much trouble, is nobody sits around worrying about the country. They worry about themselves and campaigning and running for office. So,
well, it seems like somewhere along the line, and I'm not just going to point the fingers at the president, I'm going to point to Washington in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, somewhere along the line, we lost the reason why they're there.
Yeah, the reason they're there shouldn't be just to get back there.
Exactly. I mean, just like you've suggested many times on the program about having them just one term, maybe extend the term or whatever, but get rid of the career politicians, you know, the people that I'm here for life, and I'm just going, you know, I'm a name that sounds familiar, and I'm just going, you know, and, you know, half of them don't even show up.
Well, you know, one of the things I think we better be prepared for right now, and I'm getting a little concerned about this, is I think that this next election is going to be a huge election. I mean, you're going to make big changes in who does what and where and how. And we're going to change the president, I believe, and we're going to change the House and the Senate, the whole makeup of that. But I'm a little concerned that we're going to go from an all-Democratic Senate and House and presidency to an all-Republican Senate, House, and presidency. And I really don't know if I want to do that. So I'm going to suggest that as of now, specifically, everyone needs to pay attention. We have a tendency to sit back and let somebody else do it. But we need to, each one of us, pay attention. We've got to, and this is the ideal time, because we're going to have more debates coming up, and we need to watch those and pay attention to who, because it's going to be important who we put in there. And I think we're going to change an awful lot of people. So it's going to be very important that we get the right ones in the position of whatever office they're running for. So locally, regionally, and nationwide, excuse me, we need to pay real close attention to what's going on. And we haven't been doing that in the past. So I'm going to ask everybody listening and everybody that does listen or is going to listen to make sure that they pay close attention to who's running for office and what they stand for, and make sure that they think that they're going to actually work for us instead of just working for themselves at this particular point, because we're sitting back letting our country fall flat on its face. But right now it's even more important, because the rest of the world is falling with us.
Exactly. And that kind of gets me a little upset about these debates and stuff and the questions that are asked and what's going on. Is that, for one, stop pointing fingers. You know, you're not there to blame somebody else. You're there to sell yourself.
That's it. Yeah. listen to the people and see if they talk about themselves and about what they, and see if they actually literally have a legitimate idea or if they're just out there spouting off and to hear themselves talk, because an awful lot of them are saying things that they can't possibly have thought out. You know, there are three or four people up there that are saying things that are legitimate. And believe it or not, ready or not, I think Sarah Palin is doing a lot of thinking and a lot of learning, and she has come a long way since we have thrown her into the position that we stuffed her in a few years ago. She hasn't decided or said she's going to run yet or not, but she hasn't said she isn't going to. But she's, I think, done an awful lot of learning in a short period of time, and I give her credit at least for that. And she has probably become one of the best campaigners out there. I mean, she isn't even running for the office technically, and she's doing a better job than most of them.
I was going to say the best non-campaigner.
Yeah, really, exactly. Exactly. It's absolutely amazing. It really is.
Well, if I can also throw something else real quick. When these people that are running and also the people that are in office and they go to their town hall meetings, the questions that are being asked of them are a lot different than what's being asked at the debates. The best thing is that this is my expert suggestion to you guys, like I'm qualified, is that when you go to these town hall meetings, pay attention to what the people are asking you, because that's the people, that's your constituents that are asking you these questions, not some moderator. And you give the speech about, you know, the jobs and the economy and the president and blah, 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 and these people aren't asking you those questions. A lot of them are asking you, like, for example, what are you going to do about our border, the illegal immigration and that type of stuff? I mean, that's definitely going to be something you're not going to be able to get away from. I mean, I've heard more of that than the questions on abortion, which I don't know why the abortion and religion, which usually gets asked the majority of the time.
Well, you know, that's another thing that upsets me. We finalized the abortion issue years ago and made a law. Why do we keep bringing it up? Why do we keep asking it? We've made the law. We've made the decision, and yet we don't ever sit it down, and we still measure people on what they think of abortion. And that's not the way we should be measuring what our opinion of them, anyway.
Well, same thing with religion. I don't care what religion you are. Just don't shove it in my face.
Well, you know, I get absolutely furious.
I see that look. Look out, folks.
I get furious about that. We can't say the Pledge of Allegiance in our schools or do anything like that, and yet we're very adamant about what religion and how much religion our candidates for office have. I mean, every one of them has to declare themselves, and that's that we should leave that out of entirely. It's very upsetting to me, and yet when we do find out anything about the religion, we don't pay much attention. I mean, look at what we found out about Obama's religion. I mean, but that's another story, and I don't want to get into that because I get really red in the face and irate and upset and everything else, and we'd probably have to take another 4 hours to go with that one. But I do, I just want to ask everybody to start paying, I mean, it's not too early, but start paying close attention to what's going on. For one thing, this thing about Rick Perry calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme, I mean, that actually tells me that this man is a total idiot, an absolute fool. Not only doesn't he know what a Ponzi scheme is, but because he hasn't bothered to figure out what a Ponzi scheme is, he's actually made it known that he thinks that's what Social Security is. Social Security is not a Ponzi scheme. It never was a Ponzi scheme. It's just a system that we have set back and over a period of time, and it's been a long time, so we don't think too much about it. But it's a system that we set back and are not paying attention to, and we've let it slide and let it be used in the wrong ways. And so, you know, if it had been basically administered exactly the way it was set up, we'd actually be all right. But it wasn't. I mean, it was supposed to be put into an account that would gain interest and all that sort of thing. I mean, we'd be fine with the Social Security, even with the the baby boomers, because we'd get through them and the thing would be pretty much depleted. But then we'd get into the lower numbers and it'd come back again. It would work. The point is, we haven't let it work. We've kept adding to it. Again, Democrats or whomever who decide that we should take care of everybody. And so we put everybody on Social Security, and that can't happen. You can't do that. And things have changed. We are living longer, and there can be some changes made. But I'm really upset at this Rick Perry guy, that at the cavalier attitude that he's taken at the whole thing and keeps pushing it. But I will have to say, even with that, he has stirred things up. He's got people talking about it, and nobody was before. So,
well, I've got to give him credit for that. And there's a lot of things that need to be, quote, stirred up. You know, we've taken, well, in my opinion, I think more people are getting involved this time around than they have in the past.
And I hope that's true.
Except for when Ross Perot was running, and he did get people involved, which scared the other candidates. In fact, they started mimicking him until things changed. But people need to get involved. They need to remind the government that we are the government, and put things back to the way they should be. You know, we need to be in control. We don't need the government going, you need to do this. Or we feel like in Oregon here, like the assisted suicide thing, where it was voted on, what, twice, three times, something like that?
Yeah.
And the judge overturned it because he says, well, apparently the voters don't know what they're voting for. Yeah, apparently you're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is, we've got to get somebody in there, or some buddies, some bodies, a whole bunch of people in there who are ready to let the populace take care of themselves. I mean, they being the government, all of them, senators, representatives, and the president, who seem to think that they're smarter than the average Joe out here, and they're not. They're not smarter.
Exactly. Let me throw this out to you, because we have about a little less than 7 minutes remaining in the program. Still enough time to get a phone call in, 646-721-9887. All five lines are open. Give us a call. Is that, and I've asked this to former Lane County Commissioner Cindy Wildreyer, who's on another assignment at the moment, is when these, like, even local candidates, or, you know, like the city councils or the Lane County commissioners, all the way up the line, when they're really pushing to get a bill passed that is going to bring in more money, what do they get out of it? Why are they, like, for example, Lane County commissioners, and I got that on my website. I don't have enough time to pull it up real quick. We voted no on a gas tax. They did it anyways. We raised hell about it, in which they were very shocked, and in fact, one of them was quoted in saying that, I've been a commissioner for like 15 years, which goes along with your saying, Cliff, and I've never seen people this mad. Well, yeah, we got mad because we get tired of saying no or yes on something and having the total opposite done.
Well, you know, and I hate to say this, but we do have a major problem in Lane County. Is the highest crime rate in the state. Absolutely highest crime rate in the state. And that's because we have cut the most from our...
we cut our police force, and we bragged about it.
But so consequently, some of what's going on is we don't have the money, and we're not cutting the services in the right position. You can't not have policemen and then expect people not to commit crimes. They're going to do that.
Well, it's like in Lane County. Don't go out and advertise. I know the reason why they're doing this, because, you know, that affects the people directly, and they want to raise more money. But don't go out and say, well, you know, we don't have enough budget to have 24-hour service, and we're not going to cover these areas. And then most recently, Oregon told Lane County that they need to up their, I think it's work comp coverage or some type of coverage, which is going to cost them an extra $1 million. And they said the only way we can do that is to close some more jail beds and cut back more police services.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, we're cutting back so much that it is beginning to affect things, and it is beginning to affect our safety, everybody's safety. And so something's got to be done. And but this comes from you, the citizen. You've got to pay attention. You've got to take a look at what's being done and pay attention to what's being done and vote or not vote for it. And then when if you vote for something and then it doesn't happen, then you've got to once again vote for it by removing these people from the office that didn't allow your position to go through, your ideas to go through.
And the thing is, and I'm rushing here because we've got less than 4 minutes in the program, it's just like, now people have forgotten this because it happened quite a while ago, but in Eugene, I think it was about 15 years ago, they built what's called the Halt Center, which was initially the people with high incomes, recreation center or whatever, and they found out that there wasn't enough people really interested, so couldn't fund themselves. So the sheriff's levy, they took money out of the sheriff's levy to fund this project, and of course the sheriff is going, hey, foul, what's going on here? And so they said, well, okay, well, you know, we needed the funds, and we went ahead and voted on a second levy, which they promised they wouldn't take the money out, and they did it again.
Well, that's why I'm asking for people to pay attention. We've got a lot of elections coming up. Take a look. Pay attention. Read. Get in. Educate yourself on to who is running for what and why, and pay attention because we're going to change a lot of people.
And use the internet. Even though it's a fad, use the internet to look up who these people are. Don't just go by, well, you know, I've heard of Richard Simmons before. I think I'm going to vote for him because I recognize that name.
Yeah. Yeah, pay attention and look it up. I mean, because there's so many places you can find out information and get an idea of what you should be doing. But it is very important to pay attention because this is going to be a crucial election. Things are happening in the world right now that have never happened before. We've never had a worldwide problem like we have right now. Usually it's other countries that are having it, but this time it's us right smack dab in the middle and taking the rest of the world with us. So we've got to pay attention. I mean,
the norm, real quick here, I want to throw out, in the norm, like, job growth is stagnant, and we're going to expect that till 2014. Stop treating it like it's, no big deal. You know, we're stagnant, da-da-da-da-da. We need to do something about it, and that's my...
And here's the thing. Just because you're unemployed doesn't mean you can't pay attention, and unemployed or employed doesn't make any difference. You still have a vote.
Exactly. And do what you need to do to get the job, too. I mean, I'm not going to go into my personal life, but I've made a, in order to pay my bills, I've made a sacrifice recently, which has taken me away from my family. But and it's sad because it's the way the economy is, and it's also partly because of like, for example, in Eugene area, Lane County here, it's a nuclear-free zone. Businesses that could bring really good industry into this area are not allowed in this area because of being a nuclear-free zone, which was pushed through by the students at the University of Oregon.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
It gets me upset because, like I said, there was a bolt factory that wanted to move. Bolts are used in missiles, and so they weren't allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's stupid, so we chase people away. But
There are some. But again, pay attention because local thing issues can be brought into the play as well. We've got this next election; it's going to be a little of everybody. So pay attention and make sure. And just because they've been there for a while doesn't mean that's because they're good. It's just because we aren't paying attention. We aren't.
They are like the song says, vote the bums out. And
yeah,
most of the nation did that in 2010, November, and unfortunately, Oregon, I'm very disappointed in. But we need to do that. We need to make a change, and hopefully for the better. And speaking of change, join us again next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and send us your emails and comment on the comment side. Let us know when you listen to the archives. It'll be very, you know, we'd like to know.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.